Welcome to our time of worship. I don't know where to look with the... I mean, the cross is brilliant, but I don't know. So forgive me if you can't see me, but welcome to our time of worship. You know, after all of the excitement of this morning, I hope you had a good time here. I certainly had a good time at Stainton. But after all the excitement of this morning, this, I think you'll find, will be a quieter, more reflective service. Still very much focusing in on the resurrection. And what we're going to do this evening is focus on three different accounts, if you like. We're going to hear two different accounts of people who were there at the resurrection. And then we're going to hear another account. I don't know if anybody's heard of Walter Wangering Jr. He's written a story called The Ragman, amongst other stories. And I'm going to read you that. And that is also a story about death and resurrection. So there's no preach this evening. The message will be, hopefully, in the stories that we hear of those who were there when that happened. The choral group are going to be aiding us in our worship, as is Gareth, on both organ and piano, but not both at the same time, I don't think. And I hope you all have sight of one of these orders of service. Some of the words, well, all of the words you need for what we're going to do this evening will be on here. There's some opening responses and then there's some prayers. And as is usual with these orders of service, you've seen me use them before. If you could join in with me with the bits that are in bold print. First of all, let me read you some verses from Psalm 118. I was looking for a psalm that would reflect resurrection. It's quite difficult to go back into the Old Testament and find a psalm that reflects resurrection, but I found one. Here's some words from Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let all of Israel repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. The strong right arm of the Lord is now raised in triumph. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. I will not die. Instead, I will live and tell of all that the Lord has done. Open for me the gates where the righteous enter, and I will go in and give thanks to the Lord. These gates lead to the presence of the Lord, and it is the godly who enter there. I thank you for answering my prayer. I thank you for your victory. The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's look at the opening responses that are on your orders of service. On this glorious Easter day, we have come to celebrate the greatness of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. On this great day, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. My sisters and brothers, let us rejoice. Alleluia. 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 Jesus is Lord of all the earth. He is the King of creation. On this most holy of days, the one whom men had thought to destroy has risen triumphant from the tomb. My sisters and brothers, let us rejoice. Alleluia. 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 Jesus has died and is risen. On this holy day, we celebrate our new life in the risen Christ. Through the death of Jesus, the weight of our sin has been lifted from us. Through his glorious resurrection, we have become sons and daughters of God. My sisters and brothers, let us rejoice. Alleluia. 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 Come, let us praise the living God. Joyfully sing to our Saviour. And let's joyfully sing to our Saviour now. I make no apologies for singing what I'm sure all of us sang this morning. I know you sang it here, and I know we sang it at Stainton, but we're going to sing it again, because when else do we sing it? 298, if you're following from the book. The words will be on the screen here, I think. Thank you, Jack. I'll get your name right. Jesus, Christ the Lord, is risen today. Alleluia. Let's stand as we're able as we sing to this one. Thank you. If you can turn to the prayers of thanksgiving from the orders of service. Let's pray. Blessed are you, Lord Jesus, who came to us, a little child, as one of us. Flesh and blood to share in our humanity. For God so loved the world that all might have eternal life. Blessed are you, Lord Jesus, who came to us as carpenter, and yet in whose creative hands a world was fashioned. For God so loved the world that all might have eternal life. Blessed are you, Lord Jesus, who came to us as fishermen, and yet pointed to a harvest that was yet to come. For God so loved the world that all might have eternal life. Blessed are you, Lord Jesus, who came to us as teacher and opened eyes to truths that only the poor could understand. For God so loved the world that all might have eternal life. Blessed are you, Lord Jesus, who came to us as healer and opened hearts to the reality of wholeness. For God so loved the world that all might have eternal life. Blessed are you, Lord Jesus, who came to us as prophet, priest, and king, and yet humbled himself to take our place upon the cross. For God so loved the world that all might have eternal life. Blessed are you, Lord Jesus, who came to us as servant and revealed to us the extent of his Father's love for humankind. For God so loved the world that all might have eternal life. Blessed are you, Lord Jesus, who rose from the ignominy of a sinner's death to the triumph of a Saviour's resurrection. For God so loved the world that all might have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son for the sake of me and you and other sinners too. God so loved the world. Blessed are you, Lord Jesus, our Saviour and Redeemer. Amen. We serve a risen Saviour, yet live as if in chains. So forgive us, Lord, that we are so hesitant to live the resurrection life. Forgive us that we fail to show through word and action the truth that you loved us into your kingdom through the glorious mystery of the cross. Forgive us that there is still fear in our lives that prevents us from achieving our full potential. Draw us close. Open our eyes to the glory of the risen Christ, our hearts to the wonder of the cross, and our hands to the service of your kingdom where you have placed us, that your name might be glorified through our lives. Amen. God of resurrection, of life and death and rebirth, renew our hearts and minds. God of promise, of all beginnings and all endings, renew our hearts and minds. God of hope, of new growth and harvest, renew our hearts and minds. Amen. And now the choral group are going to sing to us, and we will continue to worship as we listen to them. They're going to be singing two different numbers for us this evening, and now they are going to do the first of them. Thank you. Now, Gareth is going to come and read to us from Mark's Gospel. And following this reading, Mary will come and tell us her story.
In the Pew Bibles, on page 1024, from Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, beginning to read at verse 1. And when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day in the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he told you." So, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. And they said nothing to anybody because they were afraid.
For us, the women. For we weren't like the others, the men who had lives and wives to go back to. We lacked that place to run to. We thought there might be soldiers, some kind of guard at least. Someone we would have to charm and distract. We were prepared for that. We would have hated it, the flirting and the rest. But we needed to get that stone rolled away so that we might be with him in the dark, so that we might pray and anoint him and think. We thought we would be safe to talk in the dark of that tomb. But the world is never as you want it. You'd think we'd know that by now, wouldn't you, being women? When we came to the place where they'd laid him, There was no one, and the stone had been rolled away. I was angry when I saw that. I thought the authorities had done it, had stolen his body. I never imagined they would stoop that low. Then I thought, oh God, what if it's one of the disciples who's done it? What if they've gone mad and stolen Jesus' body? Part of me just wanted to leave, to walk off in defeat. I saw the fear and the anger in the other's eyes too. But it was like we couldn't stop. We had to look inside. We had to see what was there or wasn't. There was something that made us step forward into the tomb despite ourselves. I don't know to this day if it was a man or a woman who sat there. Whoever they were dressed in white. But sometimes when I try and think about it, they seem clothed in flames. It's like I can't get the events in order. What do I remember is how my body felt. I remember my insides burning, how my breathing became quicker and quicker, and I almost felt drunk. I remember the words of the strange person who sat there. But that was really what was astonishing, and yes, terrible. My body felt wild and new, like I'd been born that moment. And there was something else, a thought maybe. Though that word isn't strong enough, it became clear to me that I didn't belong to anyone or anything, that I was free. That although I was a woman, I did not need to be afraid of the day, that God was alive and so were we. And it was tremendous and frightening. And we stared at each other, Mary, Salome and me. And I saw that. They felt it too. And we laughed and we ran.
We're going to sing again now. It's number 348 if you're following in Singing the Faith, but the words of something will be up here. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. The final verse of what I have here says, He is life. He is life. He has died to set us free, and He is life. And He calls us all to now live evermore, for Jesus Christ is life. So let's stand as we're able as we sing. Thank you, Gareth.
On page 1089, if you follow it in the Pew Bibles, John's Gospel, chapter 20, beginning to read at verse 19. And on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the other disciples when Jesus came. So that the other disciples told him, "Ha, we've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks on his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Amen.
John got it all wrong, of course. But then, since when can you trust a writer? Here's how he set it down. Jesus had been crucified and we were all scared and lost and huddling away from the crowd. That much I'll give him. We were as low as we'd ever been. It was like losing your best friend and your brother and maybe your mum and dad all in one go. Some of us might as well have been dead ourselves. A couple couldn't even speak. All I wanted to do was get out, be busy, do something, anything, to stop moping around and worrying and indecision, anything, not to have to think. And someone needed to do something anyway. We had no food, no one knew anything. Someone had to find out what was going on there in the city. And that's one thing they've never got about me. Yes, I need to think. I need to see. Maybe I need to question. But I'm not just the doubter. I have to check stuff out. I want to think for myself. I was gone for no time at all. The sun had barely moved in the sky. For all of that, I might as well have been away 10 years. I returned to uproar. It was as if the possessed who roamed the streets begging for bread had come into the house. The first thing I said was, "Shut up!" The authorities were on the lookout for us. That much I'd gleaned from the streets. These idiots were risking arrest, torture, and death. No wonder I was furious, my frightened voice, dragging up all the authority I had, stopped them dead. And then we got down to it. John likes to pretend that they all spoke at once, but it was harder, stranger, more human than that. There was the crowd who swore it was him, who swore that all the things we'd ever known were wrong, that the dead stayed dead, that the flesh and blood can't walk through walls, that a man getting beaten senseless, tortured, killed on a cross, might not be enough to finish him off. All this lot wants to do was run out into the street and rejoice, like drunks taking their party out where it wasn't wanted. They were like children. And then there were the silent ones, those who didn't know what to say, who refused to trust their friends or their eyes. They just sat there dumbfounded, as if what they'd witnessed had deprived them of the power of speech. And of course, there were a couple of sensible ones who said they felt it or seen it too, but said it was too soon. They needed to think, to work it out, to which I uttered my immortal line. Unless I see him face to face and put my fingers in the holes of his hand and his side, I shall not believe. Except I didn't. Well, not exactly. John makes me sound like some street performer playing a role, the setup man for the punchline, the one who tempts fate. I just wanted some clarity. I wanted to get to the bottom of things. If I said the line at all, it was almost as a kind of joke, as if something had changed, just to change the crazy mood. Something to give us space to think. I need to shock them out of their madness. I know some of those present laughed, but others thought I was a fool, that I was practically a blasphemer. At least it did shut them up for a bit. And all I could think was that if Jesus had been there, he would have understood me. Because the one thing he always got about me was that I had to figure stuff out, that I had to use my mind. He knew I'd studied a bit, I'd travelled and heard the words of philosophers, Jew and Gentile. I'd never been like most of the rest. They wanted it simple. They lapped up the talk of trusting God, trusting the Lord, or following the way, or sowing seeds and reaping harvest. Yokels. I wanted more. I always wanted more. And Jesus understood. He always said that though in the end we have to find our own way to be faithful to God, there are many roads to get there. Love God with everything, including your mind. My mistake was always to think that my mind was enough, to imagine the wise words and sayings were the thing, that really, that's how we should see him, as another one in a long line of teachers. Part of me will always see him that way, as the man of words who could wow a crowd, who could cause laughter and tears and outrage and fury. But that was not the man I met when he returned. I touched his skin, you know, or he touched me, or that was what it was like. You might think the others never let me off the hook after that, that life became 1,000 I told you so's. I heard that someone had given that as an explanation why I left for another part of the world, that I couldn't stand, I couldn't hack the innuendo, but it was never like that. The others were kind. They saw that in my doubt, my questioning, and my hunger for the truth, I'd received a fearful gift. How can I put it? Love in its simplest, most passionate form always tears us apart. And meeting Jesus again was the simplest love, the love of recognition which bypasses all the tricks of clever men and women. God tore apart everything I thought I knew and understood. And when I finally walked off to tell the world about it, it was because God was making me anew. And I knew that, despite everything pointing another way, this God, this Jesus, was creating the world anew too.
Sing our next song, which is a bit of a blast from the past. It's 5:53, if you're following in the books. I don't know if we've got the... I am a new creation. Because this isn't just the experience of Thomas. The resurrection of Jesus means this can be the experience of every one of us. The resurrection wasn't just something that happened as a time and a place in history 2,000 years ago, but it's something that is happening and can happen for all of us today. So let's sing, I am a new creation, no more in condemnation, here in the grace of God I stand. We will stand if we're able as we sing. I must say a big thank you to the choral group for joining us this evening. They were rather alarmed when I asked them because they haven't got a conductor. I don't know what you call a lady conductor. Heather is away. But anyway, they're doing marvellously on their own, but we won't tell Heather that. Anyway, the choral group are going to sing to us again now. Thank you. So we've heard two accounts of people who witnessed the risen Lord Jesus. And here's a third, stranger one for me to share with you. As I said to you before, this is a story called The Ragman, and it's by Walter Wangerin. I saw a strange sight. I stumbled upon a story most strange. Like nothing my life, my street sense, my sly tongue had ever prepared me for. So hush, child. Hush now, and I will tell it to you. Even before the dawn one Friday morning, I noticed a young man, handsome and strong, walking the alleys of our city. He was pulling an old cart filled with clothes, both bright and new. And he was calling in a clear tenor voice, "Rags!" Ah, the air was foul, and the first light filthy to be crossed by such sweet music. "Rags! New rags for old! I take your tired rags! Rags!" Now, this is a wonder, I thought to myself. For the man stood 6'4", and his arms were like tree limbs, hard and muscular, and his eyes flashed intelligence. Could he find no better job than this? To be a ragman in the inner city? I followed him. My curiosity drove me, and I wasn't disappointed. Soon, the ragman saw a woman sitting on her back porch. She was sobbing into a handkerchief, sighing and shedding a thousand tears. Her knees and elbows made a sad cross. Her shoulders shook. Her heart was breaking. The ragman stopped his cart. Quietly, he walked to the woman, stepping around tin cans, dead toys, and Pampers. "Give me your rag," he said so gently, "and I'll give you another." He slipped the handkerchief from her eyes. She looked up, and he laid across her palm a linen cloth so clean and new that it shined. She blinked from the gift of the giver. Then, as he began to pull his cart again, the ragman did a strange thing. He put her stained handkerchief to his own face, and then he began to weep, to sob so grievously as she had done, his shoulders shaking. Yet she was left without a tear. "This is a wonder," I breathed to myself. And so I followed the sobbing ragman, like a child who cannot turn away from mystery. "Rags, rags, new rags for old." In a little while, when the sky showed grey behind the rooftops, and I could see the shredded curtains hanging out black windows, the ragman came upon a girl whose head was wrapped in a bandage, whose eyes were empty. Blood soaked her bandage. A single line of blood ran down her cheek. And now the tall ragman looked upon this child with pity, and he drew a lovely yellow bonnet from his cart. "Give me your rag," he said, tracing his own line on her cheek, "and I'll give you mine." The child could only gaze at him while he loosened the bandage, removed it, and tied it to his own head. The bonnet he set on hers. and I gasped at what I saw, for with the bandage went the wound. Against his brow it ran a darker, more substantial blood, his own. "Rags, rags, I take old rags," cried the sobbing, bleeding, strong, intelligent ragman. The sun hurt both the sky now and my eyes. The ragman seemed in more and more of a hurry. "Are you going to work?" he asked a man who leaned against a telephone pole. The man shook his head. The ragman pressed him. "Do you have a job?" "Are you crazy?" sneered the other. He pulled away from the pole, revealing the right sleeve of his jacket, flat, the cuff stuffed into the pocket. He had no arm. "So," said the ragman, "give me your jacket and I'll give you mine." Such quiet authority in his voice. The one-armed man took off his jacket, so did the ragman, and I trembled at what I saw. For the ragman's arm stayed in its sleeve, and when the other put it on, he had two good arms, thick as tree limbs, but the ragman had only one. "Go to work," he said. After that, he found a drunk lying unconscious beneath an army blanket, an old man hunched, wizened and sick. He took that blanket and wrapped it around himself, and for the drunk, he left new clothes. And now I had to run to keep up with the ragman. Though he was weeping uncontrollably and bleeding freely at the forehead, pulling his cart with one arm, stumbling for drunkenness, falling again and again, exhausted, old, old and sick, yet he went with terrible speed. On spider's legs he skittered through the alleys of the city, this mile and the next, until he came to its limits, and then he rushed beyond. I wept to see the change in this man. I hurt to see his sorrow. And yet I needed to see where he was going in such haste, perhaps to know what drove him so. The little old ragman, he came to a landfill. He came to the garbage pits. And then I wanted to help him in what he did, but I hung back, hiding. He climbed a hill. With tormented labour, he cleared a little space on that hill. And then he sighed. He lay down. He pillowed his head on a handkerchief and a jacket. He covered his bones with an army blanket. And then he died. Oh, how I cried to witness that death. I slumped in a junked car and wailed and mourned as one who has no hope. Because I had come to love this ragman. Every other face had faded in the wonder of this man, and I cherished him. But he died, and so I sobbed myself to sleep. I did not know. How could I know that I slept through Friday night and Saturday and its night too? But then, on Sunday morning, I was wakened by a violence. Light, pure, hard, demanding light slammed against my sour face, and I blinked and I looked and I saw the last and the first wonder of it all. There was the ragman, folding the blanket most carefully, a scar on his forehead, but alive, and besides that, healthy. There was no sign of sorrow nor of age, and all the rags that he had gathered shined for cleanliness. Well, then I lowered my head, and trembling for all that I had seen, I myself walked up to that ragman. I told him my name with shame, for I was a sorry figure next to him. Then I took off my clothes in that place. And I said to him with dear yearning in my voice, "Dress me." And he dressed me. My Lord, he put new rags on me, and I am a wonder beside him. the ragman, the ragman, the Christ. Perhaps a more modern interpretation. And we've heard three, haven't we? Three different stories of people who in one way or another have met with the risen Christ. There could have been many more stories we could have told of Paul on the road to Damascus, or people perhaps that we've heard of through history, or even people we know of ourselves, or even we could, I am sure, tell our own stories of meeting with the risen Christ. And this risen Christ comes to us the same as he's always come, to offer new life and healing and wholeness. And so we're going to, well, I say we're going to sing again. We don't have to sing. I'm going to play you a song, and I'm going to play it on a video, but the words are there. And if you'd like to sing, I would invite you to sing. But don't sing because you have to. Sing because this is something you want to join in with if you do. And the song is, what a beautiful name, the name of Jesus. You may know it, you may not know it. But if you don't, then just sit and reflect and look at the words on here. And if you do want to join in, then please do. And then we'll read our closing prayers after we've had the song. Thank you, Jack. Just going to read you a couple of extra verses, if I can, from Philippians 2. Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let's read the closing responses on the back of your orders. My sisters and brothers, today we have celebrated the glorious mystery of Christ's death and resurrection. Let us go forth rejoicing in the knowledge that Jesus is alive. Alleluia. Today we look to the future, to the new dawn of Eastertide. Let us go to live as people, bathed in the light of resurrection. Alleluia. Today, we remember the day when creation was made new, when God showed humanity its destiny. Let us go as people, living in the knowledge that through the triumph of Jesus over death, the gates of heaven are reopened. Alleluia. So now may the truth of Easter, may the joy of Easter, and may the blessings of Easter be with us this day and all days. Amen.